Good morning. Good morning, church. How great is our God? How great is our God? Amen. This is such a blessing, you know, to be able to congregate together. Such a blessing for me to be able to bring God's word this morning. I am blessed. You are blessed. We are blessed in Christ. And fittingly, you know, the Lord has laid on my heart. I'm going to try and move this because you know that I walk. So I'm God laid on my heart to speak of one accord, one accordness. Especially given these current times that we're in. And yeah, so much division in this world. And it's interesting, you know, because what Paul said before, you know, that God, he actually didn't come to bring peace to the world. Well, the world can't receive his peace. But the peace he came to bring was for the church. You see, the world is divided and it always will be divided. That's just the nature of the spirit of the world, which is the spirit of the evil one, and his house is divided and his house cannot stand. It just cannot. But God, in his great mercy, formed a covenant between God the Father and God the Son, completely sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring his people out of the world and into the kingdom of his dear Son, into the kingdom of light, out of darkness and into the light. The meaning of accord, it's to be harmonious or consistent with, harmony of minds, harmony of words, even a harmony of sounds as we sing to our King. It's to adjust one thing to another. It's to be in agreement. In Hebrew, it actually means one consent. It's to give permission for something to happen. To give permission to God for his will to manifest through us in this life. To be one with the eternal one. That's the price that our King paid. That's the reason why he went to that cross. It's to bring unity back. It's to get his creation and to reconcile it back to himself. That's Colossians chapter 1. For it pleased the Father that the fullness of God should dwell in him. That God is not separated, God is one. To reconcile everything in heaven and on earth back to him. Wow. Given the state of this world, what the Lord has really laid on my heart right now, and this is just what I've see, you know, not here so much, but in my realm where God has placed me. Satan's doing everything he can to divide the church. Everything, yeah? He's actually doing everything he possibly can to divide even believers from even, in a sense, unbelievers. And we're not meant to be cleaved or yoked to unbelievers, but we are meant to go and preach this gospel to the world, okay? So we don't conform to the patterns of the world. We're not yoking ourselves with unbelievers. But we are sent, we're commissioned by God. Yep, it's the will of the Father. He says, go ye therefore into all the world, preaching, what? That the kingdom of God is at hand. Yep, Satan's doing everything he can to stop that from happening. No chance. It will not happen. Do not separate yourself from the love of God in this hour. Don't do it. This is the final hour. We're at 11 o'clock. And it's close. Do not separate yourself from the love of God in this hour. What God told me to tell you also is do not separate yourself from the love of God that comes even through believers in this hour. He wants us to be united in one mind, one heart, one spirit. And this time, and that's the time, I mean, you can clearly see right now what's occurring in this world. There is just division and there is strife and there is malice and there is envy and there is discord. Yep. And God sent his son into the world to give peace to his people so that we could be a light. So that when people look at you, they say, what is it about that person that is just so different in this current climate? What is it about this person that I can see such a great peace and a great calm in their life in the midst of all this adversity that's occurring on? What is it about this person that just has absolutely no fear in this world that is full of fear, full, it's rife? And it's simple. We weren't given a spirit of fear. We were given a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. That's what we were given. That is why it is so important for us to cleave, to yoke ourselves to our Father. I spent all day with him yesterday. And even during the week. But it's a miracle that I'm standing, because I was preparing for this and I couldn't stand. My preparation was on the floor. He has such a great love for his people. Do not separate yourself from the love of God in this hour. Oh, so we'll open up. I would love to go to Hebrews chapter 10. After Titus and Philemon, and before James. So Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 to 25. Ooh. Okay. So, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised, he is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. It's a command. It's not an if. It's you must assemble. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There is a day that's going to come. It's going to come. It is guaranteed. I want to be one of the five virgins who is ready. I'm full of oil. I'm anointed. The Holy Spirit is in me. I'm ready. The day is coming. Verse 22, God says, let us draw with a true heart in full assurance of faith. I will not kneel to this world and to what this world dictates. I've been seeing a lot of people kneeling down lately. What are they kneeling down to? I've been asking a lot of people in regards to even the riots and the race stuff, who's your enemy? Who is it? I have not received one answer. Confusion. Let's kneel down. To what? From what I can see, is that Satan is so deceitful, so deceptive, that he would get people to kneel down for something that seemingly seems good, but is so divisive and destructive and brings absolute division. Do I don't believe that Black Lives Matter? I absolutely believe that Black Lives Matter. Blue Lives Matter. Yellow Lives Matter. White ones matter. It says here, a true heart. What changes a person? Their mind? So what happens in this world is, let's bow our knee to Belial, worthlessness, because that's what it means. Yep. In the futile mind of their thinking that in their mind they can change. My God says that if you do not allow me to remove this heart of stone, he says in Revelations chapter 3, I believe it's verse 22, I stand and I knock at the door of your heart. And if you open, we will come in and we will make our home with you. We will sit down and we will break bread. Amen. Let me remove that heart of stone and let me put in a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:24. It's the heart. It's the heart. He wants to change the heart. Because if he can change the heart, if the person yields and opens up the door of their heart, he will surgically remove that heart spiritually and put in his heart. And then that heart will change the desires of that human being. That heart will then change their mind. All lives matter, according to God. How do I know that? He sent his son. Why would he have sent his son if lives didn't matter? That is the wisdom of the world. Sounds so good though, doesn't it? So deceptive. Yeah? Sounds so united. Yeah, let's just protest. Against what? Don't even know who your enemy is. Our war is not fought against flesh and blood. Yeah, well, we'll just hate this group of people over here. All of them? They're all bad? Deception. Absolute deception. His plan, his intent is solely to steal, to kill, and destroy constantly. But greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Because Jesus says, you know what? He may come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he says, but I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. His great and precious promises. Oh my goodness me. I want to also just go, you know, the Lord's really led on my heart to go to even verse 16. So stay in the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. You know, it says in verse 23, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I'm going to read this from the Message, guys, because I read it. I'm going to read this whole thing from the Message again. I'm going to read pretty much from verse 16 again, all the way to 25. This new plan I am making with Israel isn't going to be written on paper. It isn't going to be chiseled on stone. This time, I'm writing out the plan in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. He concludes, I'll forever wipe the slate clean of this sin. You tell me what's religious about that. Do this, don't do that. I don't see that there. I don't see a religion here. I see a good dad doing an amazing work that we could never, ever, ever accomplish on our own. So friends, wow. So now we're friends. First we were enemies and now we're friends. We can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how intentive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as something to do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. We're not doing this out of duty. We're doing this out of love. This changed. Because this changed, the motive changes. The perspective changes. How you view life, the lens that you used to view life from was self-seeking before he came. Self-serving. Yeah. Now that he has come, and for those who have opened up the door of their heart, this has completely changed. Now I'm seeking the benefit here of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to be one accord with me. I want us to be one accord with him. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. We'll go there. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's even to just drive home the point. Our Corinthians, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. Very carnal church, the Corinthian church. You know, very fleshy. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you were restricted by your own affections. He's saying you're worldly. You're thinking worldly. You're inward. Your own affections. It's stopping, it's not allowing God to work powerfully through you, because that's what he paid for. He didn't pay for anyone just to go to heaven. He paid to put heaven in you. He wants to flow through you. He wants to be one with you completely. James says, don't be just a hearer of the word. He says, do it. Doing is the fulfillment of the hearing. Now, in return for the same I speak to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, worthlessness? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? We are in agreement with Him. We are in one accord with Him. No agreement with anything that is worldly. Money, status, power, AFL, whatever. They're not bad things, but they're not God. For you are the temple of the living God. Amen. This needs to be changed in order for that to be received. You can't receive that without this. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, he says. I will be your father. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a father to the absentee dads. If you have an upbringing where you were literally fatherless, do not judge God the Father by the failings of your father on earth. I don't know who I'm speaking to in here, but I'm speaking to someone. He's a father to the fatherless. My daughters, I point them to the Father. I say, He has appointed me to be your dad on earth. I'm your fleshy father, but oh my goodness me, what an amazing heavenly Father you have. Let's be one with Him. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. Oh, amen. Amen. So, continue. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Yeah, let's go there. So this is Paul writing the letter to the Philippian church, and it's amazing because when I read the scriptures, when I read the letters, after I read the letters, He really lays on my heart like the summary. And the summary that God gave me of this Philippian church is to be one mind and one heart. You read this whole letter, the whole thing's just about oneness. So chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, in any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done, through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out for not only his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That is my foundational scripture. That is the scripture. He says, make my joy complete. Wow. Paul said, I'm an imitator of Christ, be an imitator of me. If it made his joy complete, I'm sure it makes Jesus' joy complete when we're one and we're walking in unity. This next point that God really laid on my heart is a very important point. We are not to be one accord as a church apart from the will of God. We are not to be one accord as a church apart from the will of God. That is very important, because my background is being part of a church that was one accord, that was apart from the will of God. And it was destructive. Absolutely destructive. This whole book is His will. We, it says, have been made known to know His will. He doesn't, it's not a mystery. It's not meant to be a mystery anymore. We are to know His will. We are to know His will in regards to healing. We are to know His will in regards to our salvation. We are to know His will in regards to poverty and lack and prosperity. He's a multiplier. I don't think Jesus ever woke up one morning ready to fail. I see Jesus going in the boat of Peter and saying, throw your net. So Peter, after casting nets all night and toiling, gets the most busted net he could and catches a multitude. We are to be one accord with Him. His will. That's my whole point here today. My whole point here today is to draw your hearts to spend time with Him. If what I am saying, how would you even know if I'm lying to you? How would you know? How would you know that you're being deceived? How would you know that I'm actually telling you the truth? And I am. I spend time, and I'm not against it. This is the thing. People say to me sometimes, even like, you know, religious spirits, they really are. They don't understand the difference between truth and offense. I went to a church that was so nice and everything was just so pleasing and everything was so, you know, I'm not after nice. I'm after truth. Yep. You know what nice got me? I'll tell you what nice got me. Nice got me a funeral for my third child. Pleasant. I'm not after that. Oh, no. Absolutely not. I'm done with that. Now, I'm not saying that we'd be mean to one another. It's not, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you're being pleasant and nice and you're saying a lie, no. That is not the will of God. I don't see it in Jesus. I don't want it in me. When He called them a brood of vipers, when He said, you guys are like whitewashed tombs, full of dead man's bones, I don't think it's being nice. But I think it was being loving. See, for me, my growth exponentially came when I stopped being offended by God. And I said, you know what, Father? You're right, and I'm wrong. And these dead branches that are on me need to be cut off. They need to be cut off. So I ain't going to get offended anymore. I actually look for the scriptures. I call them the chainsaw scriptures. The ones that actually completely remove that dead wood. I look for them. They're treasures to me. Why? Because I want to be one with Him. I already am, but I want that union to be so close. I want His word to prune me. Why? To bear fruit, He says. Yeah? To bear fruit. And He says, my will is for you to bear fruit. He even goes one further and He says, and I want that fruit to remain. We're not to congregate here in a soulish, fleshy way. We're not going to do James chapter 3, verse 15. We're not going to do that. We're going to congregate here in the unity of the faith and in truth. Because why? Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And if you remain in his word, get those chainsaw scriptures, and it keeps you free from the snares of the devil. His word is not a maybe. I have a scripture for that. We can go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 to 22. Maybe gospel. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. God, are you willing to heal me? Later. Maybe. Did he ever say that? So I don't want that in my life then. See? That's a scripture I go after. That's a chainsaw scripture. Cut it off. Because prior, had no understanding. Well, I prayed. Well, I'm not sure why they healed. Maybe God didn't want him healed. This is not a maybe gospel. For all the promises of God, by his stripes you were healed. Is that a promise?
Yes.
All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. So be it. To the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. His gospel is a yes, and it is an amen. If he would have said yes and no, for example, in regards to healing, it would be extremely confusing for the church. If it wasn't his will all the time to heal, why should I even pray for the sick? Why? It's futile. Sickness is my enemy. It's part of the curse. If he bore all diseases and all infirmities and nailed it to the cross with sin, yep, with sin, how is it possible that disease could be my friend? That God would then use it to better me? See, that's exactly what I was talking about before. At the time, I was taught that God uses things. He may use disease. You know, he'll go and knock on Satan's door and goes, hey, I need about a half a kilo of cancer for my boy. I've got to teach him a lesson. It's confusing. A house divided against itself cannot stand. You know, Jesus is casting out demons and they're coming up to him and they're saying, whose authority? What power? You know, by the power of, you know, Beelzebub, whatever one of those bees are. Yeah, Beelzebub. Jesus looked at them and said, you guys are confused. What are you talking about? If I was casting out demons by demons, that house cannot stand. We're not to tolerate diseases. We're not to tolerate illness. We're not to tolerate the curse. Completely. I tolerated it, and as I said, what it got me was a funeral for my daughter. I was not in agreement with him. It's very personal to me. Every time I'm asked to preach, I see Naomi's face. And that's enough. He was manifested. The Son of Man was manifest so that we might destroy the works of the devil. I told you, part of the body, I am the soul. I want to see my enemy face to face as it gets crushed. I was not in agreement with him. And I got what I spoke. And then Natalie comes along. Very, very personal to me. I didn't get offended with God. This time, though, I was armored to the teeth with the Word of God. Okay? They came in the rooms and said, brain damage, liver failure, kidney disease. I was not going to have a bar of it. You can ask my wife. I was so offensive, but loving at the same time. I kicked them all out of my room. Kicked every single one out. I said, get out. Don't come back. God, I don't want your bad news. I go, my father said that every perfect gift comes from above. My daughter's perfect. Amen. Natalie's born, and then virtually within that first week, whooping cough. I never really looked at her. I was like, I'm not like that. But God led me. He goes, just, I want you to understand. He goes, I want you to understand what mountain moved there. Okay? Because the doctor basically told me and my wife to bring her home because she's, you know, keep her comfortable. Because a child at that age, 1 in 50 to 1 in 100 chances of it surviving. Greatest news I ever heard when he said, take her home. Yeah, I know. I mean, that to me prior would have been shocking, but he said, take her home. For me, it was wonderful because I could completely just flop onto my king and just let his word do its work. That girl passed out in my hands I don't know how many times. She went blue, went limp. These girls are right here. They're witnesses. They saw it. How many times she passed out in my hands. To be honest with you, I don't even know if she died. She went so limp and couldn't move, and I'd say, Natalie, wake up! And she'd get up. What changed? What changed from one circumstance to the other? I was in agreement. I was in one accord. He said, speak my word. It won't fail, son. I sat on his knee, Proverbs chapter 4. I listened to his words. I let my heart retain them. And at the appointed time, it came out. The sword came out. I live this. This is not a fairy tale to me. This is real. I saw it before my own very eyes. His word doesn't fail. So if we pray and we don't see the breakthrough, did God fail? Is Satan too powerful? No. We keep moving forward and we keep growing into him. If his word said it, it's settled. His word is settled in heaven. His word is above his name. His word defines who he is. And he only responds to his word. He only responds to his word. He cannot respond to the any other voice, crying, you know, whimpering. I'm not being mean here. God can only respond to his word. I cried and cried and cried for Naomi. He couldn't respond. He's only faithful to his word. It doesn't mean that he was mean. He provided me with everything that I needed for that situation to change. But I was not willing to listen to him at that time. I wasn't willing to be in agreement with him. I listened to man and the philosophies of man and the traditions of men that bring his word to zero effect, he says. You show me one time in the ministry of Jesus, one time where he didn't heal someone. One. The only time, and there are other times, I guess, but the main time that I saw him in his hometown, he was willing. They were unwilling. We know you. You're Joseph's son. You're the carpenter. What on earth are you talking about? Get out of here. You crazy. He could only heal but a few. He healed everybody. He even healed the Syrophoenician woman. She wasn't even in covenant with Israel. And you're right, Paul. She was ahead of her time. It's ridiculous. What healed her? Absolutely. Faith. Faith in God. David should have died when he ate the consecrated bread. He didn't. Why? He's a man after God's heart. There's something about faith. It's a gift. It's a substance. It's real. Completely transcends law. He responds to faith. He responds when we are in agreement that you are good all the time. All the time. Even if my circumstances may not show it, even if my emotions play tricks on me, you're just good all the time. And your will is constantly to deliver me. Constantly, constantly to deliver me. He says, if you're willing, I'm willing. He says, if you're not willing, he says, I can't. It's not that he won't. He can't. It's only his word that he responds to. Great and precious promises. I have removed your sins as far as the east is to the west. Your sins I shall remember no more. You are an heir. We're heirs. We're co-heirs. He says that you were enemies in your minds before the blood. And he says, and now that you believe in the blood, he goes, I'll give you my kingdom. Ah, oh, jeez. Ah, oh, goodness me, where are we? Okay. Yeah, we'll go there. Thank you, Dad. We'll go there. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Whew. Chapter 1, verse 1. God, who spoke at various times and in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He spoke in the past to the fathers by the prophets, various times and in various ways, meaning that the heart of man was hardened and the necks were stiff. God do anything to make you understand how much he loves you. The greatest thing he ever did was he goes, I'll send my Son. And he will go to a cross and I will curse sin in the flesh. But he has spoken to us by his Son. Don't have to go there, but in Luke chapter 9, verse 35, it's the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus goes up to the mountain and takes Peter, James, and John. You know, his inner circle of the inner circle. And he's praying. And I love Peter, foot in mouth. Let's make three tents for you and Elijah and Moses. Gotta love Peter. Don't go to the cross, Lord. And he rebuked him. Rebuke God. And then the voice comes out from heaven and says, "This is my beloved. Hear him. Don't listen to the voice of this world. Don't listen to the voice of this world. If I'm not speaking Jesus, kick me out. If I'm not speaking his word, you come and tell me. Because I'm accountable. Okay, I'm extremely accountable. I hold this position. This is so dear to me. Okay? This is so sacred to me that God's taught me that. That everything that comes out from here, it has to be his word. And if I'm not speaking it, I want to know. I really do. Believe me, I won't get offended. I'll change if it's in here. If it's not in here, well, I guess, yeah, we'll probably, well, I'll let God deal with that person then. That's been happening lately, you know, where I've had influences. It's amazing how this spirit of religion constantly just keeps wanting to kind of like find its way in. You know, it just wants to come and knock on the door. I'm full. Not opening. I'm full. We're so full. I mean, it's amazing, our spirit. The madman of the Gadarenes had 6,000 demons in him. What are we? What is the spirit that he created? That he put in us. We are spirit, soul, mind, and body. 6,000 demons entered into one man. What is this? I'll go one better. The one who stretches out the heavens with his hands says that he fits. It's so amazing, though, that it doesn't matter how many demons there are, they'll never ever feel the human spirit. But God says, geez, we fit good together. Snug fit. Every room in your home is a light. There's not one room that's empty. We were made to be together. God, when he purposed in his heart to make man in his image and in his likeness, let us, he said, Trinitarian nature of God, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. He put his essence into us. From the beginning, we were always made to be one. That was lost. The light switched off by Adam. And then Jesus says, I came to save that which was lost. That. And the same that is mentioned by John in the Gospel of John chapter 1 when he says, that John the Baptist was a witness of that light. That light. Jesus returns, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, a king who gets off his throne, comes into the trenches, and dies to turn the light back on, dies to make us one again with the Father. You are not just a human. You're so much more than a human. Human. A spirit being in a body of dirt. Now you're an anointed human. God dwelling inside of you. Your spirit and his spirit are one. Forever. Forever. It's what he wanted from the beginning. I just want to finish up. The most important thing, you know, that God's taught me over the last 3 years, and it's amazing, you know, it's a miracle that I'm even here, because after Naomi passed, we weren't even going to church anymore. Well, I wanted to go, but Lou didn't want to go. And that, you know, as religious as I was back then, I knew the importance of communion with God and with God's people. And I cried out to him. I've never cried out like that. Because the girls were young. And, you know, I had an understanding, you know, of the evil one and the way he worked, you know. And for me, it's like, okay, well, if my girls see discord between mum and dad, yep, dad's going to church and mum's staying at home, that's going to cause issues with them. Yep, because there's discordance in the house. So I cried out to the Lord and I said, Father, I've never prayed a prayer like that. That came out. And I said, you told me to commune with God's people. And now we're in this position where my wife doesn't want to go. But she was right. Because she was actually hearing from God. I couldn't at that time. I was actually dull of hearing. So the Lord got to me through her. Got my attention. So I went up to her and I said, hey, hon, you've been saying you'll come to church. And she said, yeah, later. One day I'm like, you're lying to me. Okay, you're never going to go back. And she looked at me, she goes, that's right. She goes, I'm not going back there. And that got my attention. So I cried out to the Lord and I said, Father, you need to show me a way. You need to lead me somewhere. I don't know where. And I have no idea how, but I know you can. So I'm expecting and I'm demanding that you lead me somewhere and you lead me to someone that will help me grow. And you led me here under Paul. 1 week after I prayed that prayer, 1 week, my wife asked me to go to this convention up at Mount Cottrell. And I put it this way, I was really not willing to go, you know, because at that point in time, you know, my mind wasn't all there. So I said, fine, we'll go. And all the way up, I remember just going, I don't want to go to this place. And it's amazing, you know, because as we arrived there, we open up the door and the first person I see is Rose Munn. And Rose Munn, someone that I treated her husband, Steve. And Steve had been preaching the full gospel to me for years. Dull of hearing. Couldn't hear it. But as soon as I saw Rose, I knew that the Lord had answered my prayer. All I needed to do was just say, hey, Lou, this is Rose. Rose, this is Lou. See you later. And I started laughing. Because Rose had taught me about, she had spoken to me about coming here. I'm not, you know, this is for me, you know. This was the beginning, really, of my journey with my father. And it's an adventure with him. He answered that prayer in 1 week. My heart completely yielded. He heard my cry. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Do not. It's very important to him. It's very important to me as a father when my children one day gather together and they spend time with mum and dad in the unity of our Father in heaven. That's important to me. If it's important to me, it's important to him when his children come together in one, as one, in one agreement, one heart. I want our heart to beat to the heart of the Father. And there's great power in that. There's great power in unity. And I really want to share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart, even in the book of Acts, when they were one accord. And oh my goodness me, if God did it for them, why wouldn't he do it for us? Why? Oh, I want to see fire fall down from heaven. Do I need to? No, but I want to because I'm a son. I want to see healing. I want to see healing like ridiculous stuff. I want to see cancers fly off. I want to see eyeballs recreated. And I will have what I say. We'll pray. All right, yes, thank you. I'm not going to land this thing. I'm going to fly off today. I'll come back and fly back. Circle around and fly back. So, Father, I thank you. Father, thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your son. Thank you, Father, that you sent your son in the likeness of men, Father, to pay a price that we couldn't pay, Father. And you gave us a gift that we do not deserve. You are the vine, Father, and we are the branches. And apart from you, Father, we can do nothing. But Father, but with you, all things are possible. In Jesus' name, amen.